Welcome to the Second Court of Appeals. We have six cases submitted today, two of which will have oral argument. Our panel today consists on my right of Judge Bill Meyer and my left, Judge Dixon Holman, and I'm Judge Bob McCoy. We had a last-minute panel change, as you can see. Judge Gardner is not here, and I'm here in her stead. So, let's call the first case.
May it please the Court, Mr. Randall Moore will argue for
May it please the Court. Your Honor, this is a case involving interpretation of the 1943 deed. And first I would like to say that there's no question as to the character of this dispute. It has to do with strictly the amount. There's no dispute that this involves a royalty interest as opposed to a mineral interest. The cases are extremely confusing in this area. I would say that the one thing that is clear, however, is that the court should try to harmonize the, if at all possible, using all the language in the deed. Doing that in this particular case would mean the only way to rationalize what this draft was trying to do would be to consider this to be a 1/40th royalty interest. The deed starts out saying that this is being reserved times two, a royalty interest. Then goes on to explain what is being reserved by saying being 1/5 of 1/8. I looked far and wide to find cases that were similar to this. The only case I found was the Neal versus Alpar case, which had almost identical language to this deed, and the court had no trouble in that case holding or commenting that parentheses saying being 1/2 of 1/8 equals 1/16. And I can't explain why the drafter of this deed would put 1/40th clearly and expressly in the granting clause and then choose to define it or explain it further, except to say that the drafter was trying to fix the interest at 1/40th. And in so doing, was trying to make sure that the reservation was a 1/40th for eternity. And the reason I also say that is because this is not a case involving fixed fractions or inconsistent fractions or double fractions. We have no inconsistency in the fractions in this case. When the future lease clause references fractions, there are two fractions, and they are different fractions, but they are the same fractions that appear in the parentheses in the first sentence of the granting clause. There is no way to separate the 1/5th fraction that is being referred to throughout this deed without noticing that it is intimately and inseparably connected to the 1/8th fraction. The thing that makes this deed stand out from other languages or other languages, other deeds, in addition to the fact we have 1/40th as well as the double fraction defining 1/40th, 1/5 of 1/8, is that the language compels, under the literal interpretation of the deed, for the mineral interest owner to lease the land at nothing other than a 1/8 usual royalty. And my position on that is that there clearly is no express indication in the future lease clause to reserve two separate interests. And I think what the drafter was trying to do by saying that this property, if it is in fact ever leased again, would be to fix that fraction at 1/40th. It says that the land shall be leased for the usual 1/8, of which 1/8 each of the people reserving the deed would be entitled to a 1/5th interest, which would equal 1/40th.
Well, so you're not saying that they have to lease it for 1/8. They had to lease it for 1/8. Yes, you're not saying that.
That's a literal interpretation of the deed.
But you want to be literal on the 140th and not take into account that everybody at that time leased for an eighth. So what the guy may have been saying was, I'm going to give him a fifth of the royalty, and it's a 40th because everybody for all time has always leased for an eighth. So kind of sounds like you want to take it literally in one place and not literally in the other.
No, I think that what I am saying is that we should take that literally, and the remedy at that point in time would have been to sue them for breach of contract for not leasing the land for 1/8 as the deed said it should have been leased for. Instead, this land was leased for 1/5, and rather than sue for breach of contract, they chose to go ahead and try to assert a higher fraction than was intended.
Who would sue who to say that you're getting too much, you're reserving too much money for the mineral estate owners?
Well, that does sound silly, but that would be the literal interpretation of this. There would be no way to reform the deed because I believe statute of limitations would have already passed for deed reformation. But there is simply no way to get rid of or explain the 140th fraction without completely rewriting the deed. And it would require also an elimination of the quote usual 1/8 language, because the only fraction that would be applicable would be the 1/5. And the drafter of this deed could have very easily have said that we are reserving 1/5 of royalty, which would have fixed the whole thing. And there certainly was a lot of case law at that time and many deeds that did in fact say that. So I am saying that based upon Concord and the cases that follow it, that a four-cornered approach harmonizing all the language of the deed requires the court to look at the deed in such a way that all fractions can be harmonized. And the only way to harmonize all fractions is to follow the expressly stated 140th royalty interest in the granting clause and determine that the intent of the future lease clause was to fix a 140th royalty. Otherwise, the language also could have said that the land shall be leased for not less than the usual 1/8, which it did not say. The deed specifically says that the property shall be leased for the usual 1/8, of which 1/8 they shall be entitled to 1/5. And the majority of cases hold that a fraction of another fraction means that you multiply the two fractions. The authority cited by the appellant in this case, indicates that if the author, Mr. Burney, indicates that there are, in fact, the majority of the cases out there, Helms versus Guthrie, for example, out of this court, indicates that when you have one fraction of another fraction, you multiply those fractions together. And so when you multiply 1/5 of 1/8, you are, in essence, getting 1/40. And even in, I believe it was Luckel that said, had the drafters of this deed put 1/64 in the future lease clause as it was stated as a single fraction in the granting clause and then followed by 1/8 of royalty in the subsequent clauses, we would have been compelled to find that there was a 1/64 royalty. And that's exactly what the drafters did in this case by saying 1/5 of 1/8, which at the time, based on the precedent that existed at that time, was 1/40. And so the cases that hold otherwise do not have the same language that this case has. They have a fraction standing alone, and they have in the subsequent clause the separate fraction, which the courts have always held should be taken together with the other fractions as opposed to left standing alone.
So you don't think that we take into account the time and the circumstances under which this was written, which was everybody got 1/8 royalty, period?
I think that is part of this. In fact, the case is hold that the judicial notice taken of that fact. But I don't think that compels the court to read into this deed something other than has been plainly and expressly stated, I think the case would be closer if the granting clause just contained the fraction 140. And if the reservation, the future lease clause just said, you know, 1/5 of royalty, I think at that point in time, this case, this deed, would be consistent with those cases and those people who advocate that the 1/8 is basically just the landowner's royalty. I think it would be a closer question then. It appears that this drafter went out of his or her way to specify that 1/40 is the same thing in this drafter's mind. Whether they're wrong or not is irrelevant, but in this drafter's mind, it is apparent from the language that 1/40 means the same thing as 1/5 of the usual 1/8 royalty.
And so you don't then draw the conclusion from that that if the 1/8 royalty changes, they get 1/5 of whatever it is?
Well, there's no evidence in the future lease clause that the person drafting the will intended to convey multiple interests. And in fact, my opponent does not believe that multiple interests were, in fact, reserved.
What do you mean by multiple interests?
Well, in other words, I don't think we can get past the expressly stated 1/40 in the granting clause and then go to the future lease clause and say that the drafter was intending to reserve 1/5 of whatever royalty was out there.
Well, what if the magic words 1/40 weren't here and they just say 1/5 of 1/8 or 1/5 of the usual 1/8?
Well, I think that would make it a closer case, however.
But that's what this says. I mean, the fact that he went ahead and did the multiplication of 1/40, he's really saying, as explained down here at the bottom, 1/5 of the usual 1/8 royalty. That's where he gets 1/40.
In the line of cases up to this point, the majority of these cases hold that when someone drafts a deed that says 1/5 of 1/8, it means 1/40. They are the same exact term. And so I believe that that's why this drafter put it in there, just like it was in the Neal versus Alpar case, to make it clear that there was not a different interest being conveyed in the future lease clause.
I mean, I think your case would be way stronger if it was just 1/40. But it seems to me that it's weakened considerably with the explanation in every location here as to how that came up with. It's not just 1/40, it's 1/5 of the usual 1/8 royalty. I mean, that seems pretty obvious if that's the intent of this.
And all I can say to that is that the cases have uniformly held that 1/5 of that one fraction of another fraction is going to be 1/40. And I think that taking the four corners of this deed and applying it, the court would essentially have to ignore the expressly stated 1/40 fraction and would have to ignore the fact that every time the fraction 1/5 is mentioned, it is mentioned with the fraction 1/8. And the reason that you're asking these questions, obviously, is if it was clear, we wouldn't be here today. But this is not an easy case. It is clear that what this draft was trying to do was to fix a 1/40 interest. Otherwise, there could have been a lot more language in there that wasn't in there that would have simplified this tremendously. Simply by saying 1/5 of royalty, the whole thing could have been avoided. So, but that language is there. And under Concord, all the parts of the deed should be harmonized to include all the language. And the court shouldn't have to strain to come up with some type of interpretation that eliminates other language. And the only way to define that a fifth royalty is being reserved in this deed would require the court to ignore expressly stated language, the 1/40, and the language of which party would be entitled to get the royalty from.
Mr. Moore.
Sir.
Your position is that you read the entire clause together. You're calling a part of it a granting clause and a part of it a future lease, but this is really all just in one paragraph and one part of this deed.
Yes, Yes, sir.
So we're going to look at that whole paragraph together, aren't we?
Yes, sir.
And then the explanation of what appears from just the language is that when the drafter, the scrivener, was writing up a 1/40th royalty interest, by parentheses, an explanation of what was intended appears to be put in there that says it's 1/5 of 1/8. In dealing with one part, in dealing with the 1/40th in the first sentences of the clause. Right, you follow me?
Yes, sir.
And then when you get to the part that's talking about a prospective or future activity, it's talking about a usual 1/8, but that usual 1/8 is not really addressing the quantity of royalty being reserved. Rather, it's still talking about 1/5 of the 1/8. There's nowhere in this clause that says anything about a 1/25th, is there?
No, sir.
And it's your position that you don't ever get to a 1/25th because what's intended all the way through is a 1/40.
Yes, sir, and that's why I believe the language says it shall be leased. I think the intent was to fix a 1/40th royalty by the definition of the time being 1/5 of the usual 1/8 royalty. And I do believe that I refer to it as granting clause and reservation clause, but it should be granting language and reservation language.
Yes, sir.
The case is talk in terms of using three separate clauses. We don't have that here.
Right.
There is no subject to.
Thank you, Mr. Moore. Your time is up.
May it please the court, check with back to the employees. We have a problem here. We have some language in this deed that expressly, unambiguously requires that total landowner royalty to be 1/8. Appellants just want us to ignore that language completely. But they also say we need to look at all the language, we need to harmonize all the language. And they go back and say we need to ignore that language and we need to harmonize it. We really have two options here. We either need to construe 1/8 consistently throughout the deed, or we need to construe 1/8 as meaning one thing in one part of the deed and something else in another part of the deed. Well, I think it makes sense to construe 1/8 the same throughout the deed. How do we construe 1/8 the same throughout the deed? How do we follow a common core? In harmonizing everything in the deed, we follow Concord by reading 1/8 as a surrogate, as a proxy for usual royalty interest. 1/8 has historically been used back then in 1943, the 40s, when this deed was drafted, as, in historical context, royalty interest. That language is not used in current deeds, but back then, in the context of when this deed was drafted, as I said in a couple of our articles showing this, back then, folks said 1/8. When they meant usual royalty interest. That would certainly harmonize all of the language in the deed, including this language saying that that the total landowner's royalty interest needs to be 1/8. The only way appellants argue over water is if we either totally ignore the language saying the total landowner's royalty interest needs to be 1/8, always needs to be 1/8. We either ignore that, or we can read that 1/8 literally. We can read that 1/8 kind of loosey-goosey and then read 1/8 later very literally. So it seems to me that we should be consistent in reading 1/8 throughout the deed. 1/8 should mean the same thing every place the deed, because that's what the Supreme Court has instructed us to do in Concord. We need to be consistent. We need to harmonize things. In the Concord case, the Supreme Court had a deed that was apparently internally inconsistent. In Concord, the deed indicated the party to title 1/96 of the total production, but then also indicated, seemingly inconsistently, that the party should always be paid 1/12 the landowner's share of production. The only way that would be consistent would be if 1/8 were read as a proxy, as a surrogate for landowner's share of production. That's exactly what we, the appellees, are asking this court to do in this case, to find in these old deeds that 1/8 was used as a surrogate, as a proxy, for it just the landowner's share of production. If this court chooses to do so, if this court does hold that in these old deeds, 1/8 is used as a surrogate, as a proxy for landowner's share of production, then everything in this deed is consistent. That's exactly what happened in the Concord case of the Supreme Court. That's happen in local cases, Supreme Court. The fractions appear to be inconsistent if you read them literally, but if you read it 1/8 as being usual royalty interest, just as a surrogate as a proxy, then all the fractions make sense. That's what the Supreme Court did in Luckel. That's what the Supreme Court did in Concord, harmonized them, and then suddenly all the fractions made sense. If this court were to hold that 1/5 should just be ignored, just forget about 1/5, that wouldn't be doing justice to the fact that the drafters in this case included the words 1/5 not once, not twice, not three times, but four times in the deed. That would indicate, if anything, special emphasis on 1/5. That would indicate intent for 1/5 to be very important, not just be swept under the rug as, well, don't worry about that 1/5. The fact that it was included, 1/5 was included twice in the first sentence and twice in the second sentence, four times in two sentences, indicates 1/5 was of extreme importance to the drafters of this deed. If we're construing 1/8, the same throughout the deed, as I said earlier, we need to either use 1/8, right, this literal meaning, which would require, really, reformation of the lease in general, would require all of the landowners to pay a bunch of money back to the big oil company, and you know, that wouldn't seem to make much sense. That would probably upset a lot of landowners who negotiated in good faith, arm's length transactions with big oil companies throughout the 2nd District, throughout Tarrant County, surrounding counties. If all of those big oil companies could go look and say, oh, look, this deed back in 1940 says 1/8, we've negotiated leases where we pay 1/5. We need to follow that deed from back in the 40s. All of these folks are going to need to pay us back a lot of money that we've paid them. That's what it would do if we read 1/8 literally. But consistent with the Supreme Court's holding in Concord and the Supreme Court's holding in Luckel, we can read these terms to harmonize them, which would be, in this case, reading them as reading usual 1/8 as the usual amount. It's impossible to read the term 1/8 literally and harmonize it. So we can do exactly what the Supreme Court did in both of these couple cases and read 1/8 to harmonize these couple terms. Harmonize the one term every time it is used right there.
Mr. Ruback.
Yes, Your Honor.
Where is there in this clause we're talking about any place where 1/5 is used whenever it isn't coupled with 1/8?
Every time 1/5 is used, it is coupled with 1/8.
And aren't you asking us to take away that coupling and say instead that we're going to, in fact, look at a 1/5 and say that whatever this language is talking about, a 1/5 of 1/8 all the way through the clause, that we're going to ignore that and instead look at the true facts of what was actually the amount of royalty reserve being a 1/5 and say that we're getting a 1/5 of a 1/5, not a 1/5 of an 1/8?
That would be one way of looking at it, Your Honor. I don't want this court to ignore any terms of this contract. What I want this court to do is look at the term 1/8 in the context in which it was used in the 1940s. The term 1/8 in the 1940s was used as proxy for, as equivalent to, as equal to the usual royalty interest. So I don't want this court to disregard 1/8 or any other term of the contract.
Okay, the 1940s, 1/8 means what we usually say is a usual royalty.
Yes, Your Honor.
But we have a 1/5. And there's nowhere 1/5 is mentioned in this clause that you're asking that they were looking at, which you're suggesting we should interpret to be 1/5 of 1/5, as opposed to 1/5 of 1/8, because there's never a mention of what happens if it's not a usual 1/8 royalty in this clause.
You're right, Your Honor. There is no mention in this clause or anywhere in the deed as to what happens if the requirement of 1/8 royalty is disregarded. If someone leases it for other than 1/8, you're right, it doesn't give us a lot of
value. Well, how can you get to looking at 1/5 of 1/5 whenever there's never a 1/5 of 1/5 anywhere in here? Aren't you asking us to read into the language more than what's there in order to get to a 1/25?
I am asking the court to read 1/8 in the context of what it meant in the 1940s as usual royalty interest. I'm not asking there to be disregarded, but I am asking this court every time it sees 1/8 to read it as usual royalty interest. That's exactly what appellants did when they went and signed the lease for 1/5. They didn't go and look at the deed and say, the deed says we are required to lease for 180. We're going to read this literally. So even though we're being offered 150, we're going to turn it down. We're going to take less. We're going to take 180. No, appellants apparently read 180 in the context it was used in the 1940s, in the context in which the grant was drafted as the usual royalty interest. Otherwise, they wouldn't have leased this for 150.
Well, that implies that the usual royalty interest is now 150.
It does imply the usual fee.
Well, how do we get there?
One way of seeing usual royalty interest is now 150. One way of harmonizing would say usual royalty interest is now 150. But we don't necessarily need to do that, though. We don't need to get there. We can just say 1/8 equals usual royalty interest in 1940s. If every place in this deed you see 1/8, cross up 1/8 and write usual royalty interest.
I'm with you. I'm totally with you. But
we don't even know what usual royalty interest is.
But how do you get to 1/25 unless you make the usual royalty interest 1/5? Because that's what it was leased for.
You would get there.
Instead of 1/5 of 1/8, you're saying, well, it's now 1/5 of 1/5, because the usual royalty interest back in the 40s was 1/8, but now it's 1/5. But how do we get to that last step?
Okay. If we read, every time it says 1/8, mm-hmm. if we read that mm-hmm. as the royalty interest.
The usual royalty interest. That's what you've been telling us. Okay, I'm with you. So we're gonna reserve 1/5 of the usual royalty interest, which used to be an 8.
I hear you.
Okay, but now how do you get to the next step and say, it now means 1/5 of 1/5, because 1/5 is the usual royalty interest here in 2010.
I was unable to find any law review article or any scholarly legal journal saying that it is 1/5, but my understanding is that it was 1/8 back then.
Fine.
The court could take judicial notice that it is now 1/5 now. I looked for a law review article. I looked for a legal scholarly article saying that. I didn't want to come and bring this court, like, you know, the Fulbright newspaper, you know, saying that that's what it usually is. I suppose this court could take judicial notice, could do some independent research. I didn't feel comfortable coming to this court and bringing in any external or extrinsic evidence, especially in light of the fact that my appellee's brief, I made a point of saying that all of the summary judgment evidence indicates this land was leased in 1943. Opposing counsel, the appellant's brief in the reply brief kept saying wasn't leased in 1943. I didn't entirely understand it, but he said that in the appellant's brief and the reply brief, it indicated that I would probably right if the land was leased at the time this deed was signed in 1943, and kept saying, well, the uncontroverted summary judgment evidence says the land wasn't leased back then. I looked through the record and found all the uncontroverted summary judgment evidence shows that the land was leased in 1943. I'm not entirely certain why that makes my argument much stronger, but appellant in both his appellant's brief and his reply brief said my argument would be much, much stronger if it was leased. All the summary judgment evidence is the land was leased then. I didn't want to argue outside the record and say, well, the usual amount is 1/5 now, when I'm also saying it's important to stay within the summary judgment record, not argue outside of the particular brief.
You want us to go outside the record and take judicial notice of something, which to me is a problem.
Okay. What the court certainly could do is the court could read 1/8 as the royalty interest instead of the usual royalty interest. I'm going through and looking at the clause right now. If we just read 1/8 as the royalty interest, I've been advocating for the usual royalty interest, but Your Honor has a good point. If we reformed my prior argument and said 1/8 equals, in terms of this deed, in terms of the 1940s deeds in general, the royalty interest, drop usual, we could read everything consistently, and that's exactly what the Supreme Court teaches us to do. It does not teach us to do it the exact way I'm saying it, obviously, but the Supreme Court does teach us in Concord and in Lovell that we must do whatever we need to do, if at all possible, to harmonize all the language in here. It doesn't say ignore some language, doesn't say, well, that language doesn't matter. It says we need to make everything consistent. If we go through here, the handful of times is 1/8, and interestingly, 1/8 is used less times than 1/5. We can't ignore 1/5. If we take 1/8 and just read that as royalty interest, being 1/5 of royalty interest being one fifth of royalty interest, there shall be reserved the usual blah, 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 blah. If every time it says one eighth is such a royalty interest, that would allow us to harmonize everything in this deed and would not require us to just disregard certain language in this deed, which appellant had asked this court to do. I mean, appellant's argument admittedly would be much stronger if there were not a requirement of leasing for 1/8. If that language weren't in there, this court could very, very easily harmonize this deed without buying any of my arguments at all. But because that language is in here, we need to harmonize that language along with everything else. We can't just harmonize everything except that and just throw that by the wayside and say that part doesn't matter. We need to include that in our analysis of harmonizing. The only way we can harmonize and include that language on harmonizing, as best I can tell, is read 1/8 as royalty interest, as a surrogate, as a proxy. Then everything makes sense, then everything is harmonized, and all the fractions are consistent. We have 1/5 in here four times in two sentences. Appellants ask this court just to pretend it's not there at all. In my mind, the fact that it's in there four times is indicating not only is it important, but it's extremely important. If the drafter of this deed had wanted to give my client each 1/40 as a royalty interest, why the heck is that other language in there at all? Why the heck is it in there four times? It would have been really easy to say, these two reserving brothers, they each get 1/40, period, the end. It would have taken one sentence instead of these two long sentences. The fact that the drafter here has said four times, 1/5, 1/5, 1/5, 1/5, indicates that it wasn't just an accident, it wasn't just a typo. I believe that if we used the proxy of royalty interest every time 1/8 is used in this deed, we would satisfy Concord, we would satisfy the level. Everything would be harmonized, everything would be consistent. To do otherwise would not harmonize every bit of this deed. It would only just harmonize the parts that a public would like harmonized and kind of just ignore that other part.
Thank you, Your Honor. You wish to use your last 5 minutes, Mr. Moore?
Yes, sir.
All right.
I'd like to say, first of all, that I'm not asking this court to ignore any language in the deed. And I think that my argument is that the court should look at every single word in this part of the deed that's in dispute. And every time that 1/5 is mentioned, it says being in parentheses 1/5 of 1/8. There's just simply no way to separate out and interpret the 1/5 standing alone without completely rewriting this deed. The theory that is proposed would basically require this court to add language that's not in this deed, i.e. the usual royalty or landowner interest or whatever position is being taken. There's no authority for that. There's no case that says that the court should add language to a deed, substituting a fraction for verbiage when it's not specifically in plain written. That would be in direct conflict with Concord and all the other cases. And the real problem in this case is the shall lease for language, which I'm not asking this court to ignore. I'm asking this court to interpret that in harmony with the rest of this deed. And the only way to do that is to find that what the drafter was trying to do is to fix a specific interest in the deed. And really, that's the only way to do it. To find this 1/5 stands alone would essentially require a court to take away 2/3 of the language in this particular paragraph, or these two clauses, however you want to refer to them. And that provides no guidance, provides no stability for people that are sitting in the office drafting or making opinions on these types of documents that have been done for the last 50 years or so. And so to follow Concord, I'm not asking this court to ignore anything. I'm saying that the whole paragraph should be read with its plain meaning in an attempt to ascertain the party's intent without eliminating any language and without adding language for which there is not a single case to support. And that's all I have, Your Honor.
All right, thank you. Your case is submitted, and we appreciate you coming in this morning. Y'all are dismissed.